But the Jewish community in Montreal really took to it. They bought tickets en masse. They seemed to feel that this was their event.
Hello, bonjour, shalom, and welcome to Culturally Jewish. I'm David Sklar.
And I'm Ilana Zakon.
On this week's episode, we kvetch with the co-founder of the Just for Laughs Festival, Andy Nellman, on the recent news that this year's Montreal Summer Festival is canceled.
Mama always wanted me to be a doctor, but I became an artist and that really shocked her. Now I'm interviewing people in the biz, pros and newish, but all of them are artists and they're culturally Jewish.
So, David, give us the brief overview of what's going on.
So, for people who have been living under a rock or have not been reading the news at all, basically, this summer's Just for Laughs Festival, which has been around for 30-plus years, is a staple of not only just the Montreal community, but really specifically the Montreal Anglophone community. This year's summer festival event was canceled. The company was trying to sort of avoid bankruptcy, so they're seeking creditor protection. Apparently, about 70% of its own workforce were laid off. The company is saying that they hope to restructure and reformat and come back stronger in 2025. But basically, these issues were compounding over many years. And the company said issues related to the pandemic, people obviously staying indoors, inflation, and even changes to the entertainment industry is what affected everything now. And it's having a bit of a ripple effect right now, too. It's affecting Montreal, but it's also now found out today that the Toronto Just for Laughs Festival is canceled as well, too. Many comedians from Montreal, Toronto, LA have sort of been coming on to news stations and sort of just saying this is a devastating loss, right? This is where so many comedians got their beginning. I know Jerry Seinfeld came on and used to come to Montreal a lot and raved about just how great the city treated him. How many comedians, either up and coming artists or big stars, just felt so welcome and warm in Montreal over the many, many years. So everyone just sort of saying this is going to be really tough, not only for them, but also for up and coming comics too, who sort of view Just for Laughs as their big break before they head off to LA and Netflix.
I mean, it's a big deal. I was actually in the car driving and I heard on the radio that JFL was canceled. My friend was in the back seat and we were both like, what? This felt It felt so out of nowhere. I feel like having grown up in Montreal, being a kid, I remember seeing like the little green monster everywhere. I've biked by the building. I mean, I see it all the time. I'm nearby. And I was just talking to my sister-in-law the other day about how I really wanted to go see the British show with her this year because I missed it last year. They bring in all sorts of British comedians and do like a British-specific comedy show. And then I found out this news. I've only been to the festival a small amount of times. I got to see a couple performers from Whose Line Is It Anyway do like an improv / stand-up thing, which was awesome.
Right.
And when I was in Vancouver, I saw a show because they have like the West Coast version. But it's something that I feel like I've always aspired to go see more of as someone who works in theater. I don't know if you feel similarly, David. It's easy to get siloed and like I go see theater all the time, but I don't always pay attention to what's going on in other performing arts. And I wanted to try to change that this year. So boo. I'm not happy about this news.
You know what? I used to love going to the Just for Laughs Festival. I used to love seeing shows and I volunteered for them one summer. So what they got to do is if you worked for them for a minimum of, what was it, 5, 10, 15?
Yeah, you got to see free shows, right?
Exactly. So you would just line up, wait, there'd always be available seats, and you get to see everything that you ever wanted. So I discovered like new comics I never knew. I got to go to the big gala shows, and it's just an exciting, wonderful, probably my favorite festival in Canada because everyone is out. Everyone is enjoying it. There are French shows, there are English shows, and it was just such a wonderful experience. And this is what so many people out west knew about Montreal is, oh, you've got the Just for Laughs Festival. One day I want to check that out too.
I know. It's kind of crazy how it puts Montreal on the map. I want to talk more about this to Andy, but I mean, we're not known for many things. We have the Jazz Festival and, you know, we have some awesome music festivals. But Just for Laughs is a big deal. Like the fact, as you said before, that comics come here to start their careers or big comics come and it, you know, furthers their careers. Some of the headliners that we had just in the last few years are like big timers from like Australia, from the US, from Europe. We'll have to get the down low on what is going on from behind the scenes from Andy, who doesn't work for Just for Laughs anymore, but he is one of the co-founders. And I know that he was involved with the company for quite a long time. So I'm sure he'll be able to fill in some of the blanks.
I got so much gas, I'm being followed by Arabs. I'm not kidding. I can't help it. What'd you say, lady? No, it's not from drinking. I don't drink. Jews don't drink too much because it interferes with their suffering.
So, Andy, could you describe for me the moment when you heard that Just for Laughs Summer Festival was canceled?
Sure. I was in a meeting, and it's rare that I put my phone on silent, but it's not even silent. It's do not disturb, nothing get through, no text, no nothing other than my immediate family. And these days, I'm working, but it's not like it used to be. So what I mean by that is when I turned my phone back on, I just looked at it and I said, oh, you have 8 missed phone calls and 12 messages. And this is a meeting of an hour. I said, geez, what went on in the past hour? And then it's like, yikes, you're kidding me. And I obviously learned quite quickly that it was not a joke. It was not a Just for Laughs prank gag. It was a very, very bitter reality. So that was the moment. And I believe it was a Tuesday morning when it happened. It was between 9:30 and 10:30.
And who are these people that were reaching out? Were they like friends and family saying, oh, I heard this on the radio, you have to hear it? Or people you worked with?
It was all media. It was unbelievable.
Media.
It was all media. Yeah, it was all media. Everyone, French, English, media. And it was astonishing.
And what's your take on the news itself? Like, did you suspect that anything like that was going on? Did this come as a big shock to you? How does this thing kind of happen with a big festival like Just for Laughs?
Well, let's answer the first question. How I felt and did I suspect anything? There were articles in the media and about some financial troubles the week before. It was in Le Devoir and also in the Gazette. And because I'm on the board of Tourisme Montréal, we know what's going on with the events before, let's say, the general public. And we knew that events in general were facing challenges of a number of different varieties, everything from sponsorship to government grants to inflation to competition. So I can go on and on. That said, there's always a way out. There's always sometimes people they just go a little overboard, let's say, with the bad news. But this was not overboard. This was underplaying it, given that the fact that the word canceled was used,
right.
Given that the term, which was it? It was creditor protection and restructuring were all used. And look, this happens in business all the time. And we could talk about how people come out of this a lot better than they did going into it. But the word cancel, that was a dagger through the heart, given a number of reasons. A, the people who lost their jobs, obviously.
Yeah.
B, personally, given my 30-plus year history with this and me being there at the groundest of ground floors. C, the element, and perhaps the most important one, the city, the citizens of Montreal, who right now, this is an economic driver because it brings tens of millions of dollars a year to Montreal in terms of revenue from tourists alone. That's just alone, this tourist alone, never mind the local spend. But most importantly in all this, and this is, C2, it's the element of the joy that will be sucked out of the city. And it's such an important part of our summer, an important part of the city. And it's like, oh, at least 2 weeks I can get away from it all. Well, that ain't happening this year. And hopefully only this year.
So when you left the organization in 2015, what changed? Was it the expansion, going bigger for better, for worse?
You want to talk about what changed? So much has changed. When I left the organization, there was no such thing as TikTok. When I came back to the organization, YouTube was just getting off the ground and it was seen as an enemy of comedy at the time when I went back to Just for Laughs after I sold Airborne Mobile. What changed 2 years ago, not even 2 years ago, 18 months ago, AI was something that was seen by scientists and geeks. Suddenly AI was at everybody's fingertips. So what changed? How about everything? COVID didn't help, as I mentioned before, but everything changed. And the thing is about change used to come incrementally. change is now coming at you rapidly. It's a hurricane of change. And when you are a massive organization with events around the world in two languages, at least here in Montreal and other languages elsewhere, and you're a massive organization owned by three differing vantage point, viewpoint owners, change will smack you in the face. It's not easy to go ahead and change before you have to.
Right. Yeah, the world changed. I've been reading in some articles, people are saying, you know, with TikTok and all these short form videos, are people interested and wanting to spend their money and going to live performances? Which, I mean, David and I are both actors and we work in this industry, not as comedians, but, you know, we certainly hope that that doesn't go away. But have you observed that? I know that you're not working for JFL anymore. I don't know if you're still involved in the comedy world in some way, but have you noticed a shift?
Well, I'll tell you the shift I've noticed. Actually, I think things like TikTok promote live performance. Just look at Mr. Beast. And Mr. Beast is more of a YouTuber than a TikToker. But look at Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast goes on YouTube and suddenly people are enamored. They must go to the opening of his burger places and things to that effect. So I think that it promotes it. The difference is the control over the consumer is now taken by the performer. Whereas before, the performer needed an intermediary to go ahead and be the relationship builder between him, her, them, and the public marketplace. Now they can do it themselves. And because of that, they hold the balance of power. People who run these events have to understand that the relationship is different and say, what do we do to facilitate it? What do we do to exploit that? What do we do to fit within the new reality?
I want to time travel a little bit. Let's talk about the beginning of Just for Laughs. Tell us how it came to be.
Well, it came to be because Gilbert Rozon, I know it's a controversial name, but history is history. He started a comedy event out of the ashes of a failed music event he had called the Grand Viré. He ran it in French for a couple years. And I was coming off the road with a Howie Mandel tour that I did across the United States and Canada with Ruben Fogel. And Gilbert wanted to launch Just for Laughs in English. And he looked for somebody who was local, had some experience in comedy, knew a little bit about the United States, worked in television a bit. We did a Howie Mandel special for HBO as part of this tour, and spoke a bit of French. So really, the only person with all those qualifications, not that I was great or anything, it's just that I checked a lot of boxes, it was me. So I was introduced to him, and we just got this thing off the ground. So you have to remember, back in 1985, there was no such thing as a comedy festival. So what we had to do, what Just for Laughs has to do now, let's say, is rethink, what do we do now? That's basically what we did back then. There was no such thing as a comedy festival. Wow. So when we tried to bring people to the table, they looked at us like we were insane. They looked at us like we were crazy. What are you talking about? A comedy festival in Montreal, of all places? The polite ones said that. The impolite ones said words that I don't know if I can use on your podcast, and or shut doors on us. Literally, shut doors in our face. Forget it. Get out of here. So that's the way things were back in 1985.
So what was so special about Montreal, right? Because you're saying, like, why would anyone from LA want to go to Canada of all places and then Quebec of all places, right? Where you're having these language issues right now in the mid-80s. What was it about Montreal that people found attractive when those doors eventually opened?
Well, you know, you have to understand where comedy was at that time. Comedy was performed in, and I'm not putting anybody down, but the reality is that it was performed in sort of crummy clubs. And we said, come here, and you're going to be in a theater. You're going to be filmed for television. There's seven cameras. There's going to be a set. There's lights. There's a live band. We're going to treat you well. We're going to put you up in a hotel. You'll have your own room. You won't have to share a comedy condo with three other performers. We worked so hard to find talent that nobody knew. And the industry started to say, hey, you know what? Rather than us doing the work, these guys are doing all the work. So I can go to Just for Laughs in Montreal and have a buffet of performers and pick from them rather than have to do the dirty work myself. So what was ironic is that you have Los Angeles-based television producers coming to Montreal to find Los Angeles-based performers that we discovered, which was ironic, but
that's so interesting.
Very, very helpful to us. But the real let's say, tipping point, the Gladwellian tipping point, was in 1990 when Tim Allen was, discovered he was well-known in the comedy world, on our Just for Laughs stage and was given Home Improvement. And suddenly people realized, comedians realized that, yikes, I can come here and get my own show, and managers and agents, well, I can put my performers up there and they get their own shows.
Oh, I love tools. I got tools, boy. I had to go buy tools at once, so I had to buy them all at once, so I rent a big Ryder truck. I bought some tools, folks. I got those vice gripping needle nose monkey motherfuckers, boy. I got 3/4 driving socket, goddamn circuiter, jigsaw, rip cut, cross U, dado head cut, flat miter. I bought tools. I got tools that fix tools. I got every goddamn. And I got plenty of duct tape. You gotta have that duct tape. Yeah, yeah. You can't fix it, duck it. That's what I do. Big piece over the dog spot.
And the rest is, you know, there's so much more, but I'm just giving you a very, very condensed version of a very long and intricate history.
It's so fascinating. I want to talk a bit about the Jewish angle, because I know from what I've read, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. The Jewish community was actually quite instrumental in the success of Just for Laughs Festival taking off from the beginning. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure, because they all had my phone number and they would call me for tickets. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. I'm really not. You cannot believe.
Well, we're laughing because we get it. We know it's true.
But you cannot believe the amount of calls I got from people who went ahead and used me as their guide to what to buy for the festival. And I'm not naming names, but there are a lot of them. And people would call me at home at night on weekends and say, is this a good show? Is that a good show? I swear, I'm not exaggerating. Should I see this? What do you recommend? I recommend you buy a goddamn Gazette and check our ad on Saturday, is what I used to say. But I was actually a little bit more polite. But yes, I got to give credit where credit is due. The Jewish community, perhaps, and I can go into a whole diatribe about the history of Jews in comedy and how important laughter has been to the Jewish people for as a survival method for so many years. But let's not go into that just now. But the Jewish community in Montreal really took to it. They bought tickets en masse. They seemed to feel that this was their event. Maybe, and this is perhaps a small point of it, that a short local Jew was in charge of it. And they said, oh, it's one of our boys, you know, whatever. But there were a lot of performers on the bill that were Jewish. And I guess the fact of the DNA, the Jewish humor DNA that presided within Jews all over the world, came out in the Montreal Jewry at that point in time, but they supported it en masse. And I still remember this story. There were so many. There was a guy who's, I'll name names, Jackie Schreiber. Jackie Schreiber would buy, like it was like a season ticket. He bought front row seats to every gala. Anne Frantz Goldwater, the lawyer, every year. She was at every show. And the late Dr. Phil Gordon, I remember this. He's a colorectal surgeon. I remember him. He went to everything. I would see him everywhere, and he became a friend. He would call me, and we would talk. And Dr. Gordon, I remember this distinctly. He would tell me the reason. He said, Just for Laughs is so important to me. I take my vacation during Just for Laughs. I go see everything, particularly The Nasty Show. He was a huge fan of The Nasty Show. And he goes, the reason I do this, he goes, my day-to-day job, I have to go to people and on a daily basis, give them bad news. And sometimes not just bad news, sometimes horrible news. And the fact that for 2 weeks a year, I can go ahead and laugh and forget my troubles and enjoy myself and rejuvenate, that is mechaya for me. That's heaven. Like, we got great coverage from all over. The Gazette was wonderful to us. The radio station, CJD, Shome, were wonderful to us, all of them. Of course, CTV and CBC were incredible. There was no Global at the time, but they came aboard a little later on. But the Canadian Jewish News every year, man, we just got full pages en masse. The Suburban, I remember Ron Selag was the reporter there, and he would go ahead and do these massive pieces on Just for Laughs. So yeah, it became a source of pride for the Jewish community. And that said, Ilana, let's just extrapolate that to today. Another real pity on this whole thing, this Just for Laughs situation of today, is the fact that the festival is one of the Anglo community's major league events. It's the last major league event. And this is not putting anybody else down. But what else is of that level the Anglo community in this city? Nothing.
It was Anglo-centric, but it was also something like going to a hockey game with the Habs. You had Anglophones, Francophones, and Allophones coming together to cheer on the Habs, right? And it almost felt like when I was in Montreal, it felt like even if you're at an English show, you've got Anglophones, Francophones, Allophones all coming together to experience together. It's something that really brought the uniqueness of Montreal. Everyone was there.
That's a great point. And that's the reality. I don't want to go into politics right now because politicians really are screwing everything up for everyone. But the reality of the matter is the reality of the matter is people get along. People get along. They always did. When we did the ethnic show, we had every ethnicity there poking fun at each other and everybody laughing. The Greeks were laughing at the Jews and the Jews were laughing at the Italians and the Italians were laughing at the Blacks. And everybody was having a great time.
Now, you don't want to get into politics. I do just want to touch upon politics for a second because I'm curious if at all Quebec's recent bills like 96 and 21 have had any effect on audience attendance. I live in Calgary and I know a bunch of people who says, man, we'd love to go to Montreal. We just don't think we'd feel welcome. And I wonder if there's any kind of pushback like that through Just for Laughs, where they're sort of saying tourists, Canadian tourists are staying away because of the political nature of the past few years.
I have not seen that. I'm sure that if somebody does a survey and digs deep, they can provide data that would support or negate that. But I've not seen that. But let's get back. But to your political point, it's an amazing, I still remember this. I remember distinctly that I would get calls. I remember Jean-François Lisée, who was leading the PQ at the time, for English galas. And he would go there. I would give him data. I knew the guy and I would see him and he would be sitting in the audience. He was not the only one that would do that. That people who would in public just dump all over the English language. And next thing you know, be at an English language show. The first time I met Lisée, it was he invited me to a Seinfeld show that we were producing at Place des Arts. We went there and then we went out for dinner across the street at the Théâtre du Nouveau Monde. So it's incredible. That's the first time I met him was at a Seinfeld show that he bought tickets to that we were promoting. So I find
it's,
that's,
it's incredible. Yes. It's also a little hypocritical.
Oh,
too,
a little hypocritical. It's, but this is why, this is the necessity of Just for Laughs, because you can laugh at that. And that said, in recent years, so many people have been shying away from this type of comedy because of.
So I don't know if you knew, this past week there was an article in The Atlantic sort of saying that the golden age of Judaism in America is kaput. It's over. With that, you know, you mentioned this kind of speech that you gave at this event of the Jewish takeover. Is the Jewish takeover of comedy, are we at an end for that?
Well, look, you asked that to Robbie Praw, who is running perhaps the most powerful man in comedy right now, running Netflix's Comedy Everything, who's Jewish. And I can tell you the producers in LA who are producing comedy who are still Jewish. And so is it the Jewish takeover of comedy? Is it over? Perhaps, but not because of us, because of the fact that the world is being opened up to different nationalities and different ethnic backgrounds and different religions of people who weren't necessarily that vocal in the comedic world before. The Muslim community is massive in the comedy world right now, where you couldn't find one in the early days of Just for Laughs. The Asian comedy world is massive. The African-American, my God. So of course, when there's that talent, there's going to be that's in front of the in front of the camera, on the scenes, the behind the scenes element is going to be there as well, because it's like a for us, by us. We understand the nature of it. So we are going to be the best people positioned to exploit it, to deal with it, to produce it.
So where do we go from here then, Andy? What's the future of Just for Laughs?
Well, as I mentioned before, if you look at the wording of the documentation that has been sent out, it says they are in restructuring and they are being protected from creditors, this bankruptcy protection. Many companies have faced the same situation. Look at Cirque du Soleil 4 years ago. They are on the precipice of complete and total annihilation. And look at them now. Plenty of companies go through this. Plenty of companies restructure. And unfortunately, and look, I teach a course in McGill called Creativity, Curiosity, and Guts. And one of the things I talk about in this class, it's the MBAs, because when I taught MBAs, I found those were the three things they were missing: creativity, curiosity, and guts. And one of the classes is specifically on change. And one of the things I say in that class is that everybody loves change as long as somebody else does it first. And in most cases, people, given the choice of change versus the status quo, they'll take the status quo. And the only time they'll deal with change is when their hand is forced, when they're, you know, everything explodes and everything crumbles and you have to deal with it, when there's a calamity, when there's a catastrophe. So Just for Laughs is the canary in the coal mine, because don't think this is not going to affect other events across this country and across this continent. It is. Other organizations of the arts and culture organizations, it is. Just for Laughs is the canary in the coal mine. Just for Laughs is the first domino that topples. But unfortunately, sometimes it takes a catastrophe to change and to adapt and to rethink and to remold. And this hopefully will be the catastrophe, the turning point to one day saying, remember that time when everyone thought that this thing was going to fall by the wayside and die? Look at them now. And the same way that people say that about Cirque du Soleil, I really truly believe they're going to say that about Just for Laughs in the years to come.
Thank you so much, Andy, for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure to chat with you.
Well, the pleasure was mine.
But I was in the Bahamas and I went, I saw everybody there, it was gorgeous, and everybody was scuba diving, and I decided to give it a try. And I don't know if you think that deserves a hand, because I'm a Jew, and Jews and water sports, from the beginning, from our inception, from the beginning of time, we've never been big on water sports. I don't know if you remember the story. We were escaping for our lives. We wandered in a desert for 40 friggin' years. To escape, we got to the water, we wouldn't put our toe in it. We'll wait for a miracle. Don't worry, it'll part, and then we'll walk. This is...
All right, Alana, what do you have happening across Canada in the arts community?
So, this week is all about Toronto. Other than Purim events that are going on, we have Talia Reese, an evening of comedy. A rising comedy sensation, Talia infuses her performances with magnetic energy and relatable humor. That's happening at the Prosserman JCC on March 14th at 7 p.m. She's a stand-up who's been featured on many shows like The Wendy Williams Show. She's shared the stage with Nick Cannon. New York Post called her show a hot ticket. So be sure to check that out. David, how about you?
You know what else is happening at the Prosserman JCC on April 14th?
What's happening, David?
The Jackie Mason musical. So it's based on the play. Yeah, I know. It was very random that I found it, but it's based on the playwright's 10-year whirlwind romance with comedy legend Jackie Mason, featuring hilarious cast of characters, starring their love child comic, Sheba Mason. And the story takes place in Miami Beach, circa 1977. There's 16 original songs, including Ode to the Early Bird Special and I Never Met This Yenta. And the story, it just highlights the romantic misadventures of Mason as a Broadway stardom emerges and their child, Sheba, is born.
Amazing.
This feels like this should have been something at the Just for Laughs Festival.
So I'm going to change mediums a bit. The Gare Mandolin Orchestra with Marcin Masecki is happening in downtown Toronto at the Glenn Gould Studio on March 28th. It was conceived by Israeli-American Avner Yonai, and it features an international string supergroup, which will be joined by Polish pianist and composer Marcin Masecki for their live performance of Gare Suite. And it's co-commissioned by Ashkenaz and the Poland Museum of the History of Polish Jews.
You know, we're really keeping it all in Toronto this week, because my next event is happening at the Miles Nadal JCC on March 31st at 7 p.m. It is titled The First Jew in Canada, A Trans Tale, and it's written and performed by S. Bear Bergman. It is a Jewish journey of optimism, faith, and joy, including finding your ancestors you never knew you had. Now, some people might be familiar with this story, but basically in 1738, a young individual named Jacques Lafargue, also known as Esther Brando, sets off to New France, determined to make a new life for themselves. It is the first Jew in Canada. It's a trans tale, sort of in his his largely untold story and interwoven with modern experiences of both a trans and Jewish immigrant to Canada 300 years later. The CJN's own Phoebe Maltz Bovey wrote an article that questions whether Esther was trans or just dressed up as a man in order to survive in this new world. So I encourage listeners to both read the article, then see the show, and make up their own mind.
David, do you have any Purim plans for this month?
Yes, my Purim plan is I will be driving up to Edmonton to see The Sound of Music at the Citadel Theatre.
Will you be in costume?
That would be very weird if I had to, as an audience member, be in costume. No, but basically John's colleague's daughter is in The Sound of Music. So we're going to go and see. She's one of the little Von Trapp children.
Aw, I want to see you dress up like as one of the characters. Hopefully not one of the Nazis, but you know.
You know, I've played a Nazi in the past.
Have you now?
For Cabaret back in high school, it'd be Alec.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. Well, maybe we'll unpack that another time.
Sure thing. All right. So I think that's it for us. Alana, if I don't see you before, have a great Purim and all the best.
Enjoy Sound of Music.
Culturally Jewish is hosted by me, David Sklar, and
Ilana Zakon.
We're produced and edited by Michael Freeman, and our theme music is by Sarah Siegel-Lazar. We're a member of the CJN Podcast Network. To support our work and everything the CJN does, visit thecjn.ca/donate to make a monthly donation and receive a charitable tax receipt.
Thanks so much for listening, and see you next time.